coming over with a toolkit, baby. Opportunity knocks. I want to check your circuits. Fix the old fuse box.
And we're talking to you from the old fuse box tonight out here on the coast in Asbury Park, beautiful downtown Asbury Park. We're talking to the radio and the cyber people out there, and we're live from downtown Asbury Park, the Jersey Shore city by the sea that everyone wants to see dressed up and beautiful again. It's Restore Radio, the show dedicated to giving the public a voice in Asbury Park's long overdue resurrection, and also the public's voice in a lot of other matters. Beach access, for one, which is going to be at the top of the list tonight. We'll be talking to Sophie Bubis, who has had her day in the sun now, finally.
Yay, Sophie.
A 10-year struggle. And lots of money down. No, I wouldn't say down the drain, because she's winning now.
No.
And she's winning for everybody, and that's the important thing. Because beach access is a right that if we don't use it, we will lose it. And we'll be talking more about that. But I'm your host, Maureen Nevin. I'm here with Maura Martello, the muse with the news.
Yeah, I got my news.
All right.
I'm ready.
We're asking you to listen up and speak up tonight over 88.1 FM because...
It's America.
America.
All right.
And Lupe's with us again.
And Lupe's here.
The handsome Lupe.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I always take pictures of him. I never put them up there.
Yeah, your audience might want to know just who Lupe is.
Yeah, and he's got the smile.
Look at that.
The smile that goes
for
a while.
Yeah.
It's great. All right, we're going to be playing a little music in the background here. This is M-Zoom. They were up on the boardwalk this week. They had the grandkids in town, Katie and Robert McDowell, and we were up there on the boardwalk right outside the Tiki Bar at Convention Hall.
They're in the studio as well, aren't they?
And they're in the studio now. Oh, the grandchildren.
Yeah.
I thought you meant M-Zoom.
No.
I was like, where are you?
Surprise!
Sometimes I do forget who's supposed to come. Sometimes it's a shock. Oh, of course I knew you were going on.
So well prepared.
But this is Marco Fuchs. It's his band. And, of course, Lorraine Stone, who's a great friend of ours, is always dancing around with that group, M-Zoom. She always performs professionally with them. And also Jenny Mirez, who was out there the other night. She actually is a part of the band. I didn't realize that. Gonza and Agogo Bell. The Agogo Bell.
Sounds right to me.
Yeah. And this is, you know, it's real neat. It's kind of, you know... Carnival music. Carnival. M-Zoom Carnival. And this is a CD that you can actually buy yourself. You can call up Marco at 732-923-0545 or visit M-Zoom. That's M as in Mary, Z-U, M as in Mary, E.com. Pretty cool. And the grandkid's mom is coming, so I hope she puts the radio on.
She's going to go on.
Tunes us in.
She's going to go on mic.
Welcome to
interview your own daughter.
My crazy mother has this radio show.
You have 2 hours worth of nagging right here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know. And then she never let me go here. And then she, you know, maybe we won't go there. But we want to go to our sponsors, Rotten Ale, and tell them how much we appreciate their sponsoring the show and tell you how to get out there and what they've got to offer and how you can find them. Upstage Magazine is a beautiful free publication, and we talk about the theater in there and all the music that you want to know about. It's The Search for Intelligent Nightlife. That's Upstage Magazine by Gary Ween. He's the founder and publisher and editor, chief cook and bottle washer. And you have to catch his shows that he puts together now, Tuesday nights over at the Wonder Bar. Good events, and check them out Tuesday nights over at the Wonder Bar right across from Howard Johnson's on Ocean Avenue in Asbury Park. And you can go to upstagemagazine.com to learn more about that. That's why I brought the grandkids, because they just reminded me that I didn't have the tape going on the little stereo there. Because we got to have a tape for Sophie, you know. She wants to play it back.
I slipped up again, I'm afraid.
That's a sidekick there. She slipped up. Yeah, it wasn't my fault. that's pretty, I like this, this back door out of there. And we're also, I should tell people, that's probably the progeny right now, wanting to pick up her progeny. I should tell people, too, that in the second half of the show, I understand, you know, Sophie's got to leave early. She's got an early morning tomorrow. We'll be telling you more about that. And but in the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about the Sunshine Law and what went on last week in Asbury Park. So let me give you the call-in numbers, set them aside for later on. You'll probably want to call in while Sophie's talking as well. And that number is 732-775-0821. That's 775-0821. If that's busy, you can call 775-6203, and that's, of course, in area code 732. And we have our sponsors, The Rag. The Rag is your biweekly entertainment source serving the Jersey Shore. The Rag is a tabloid, and the upstage is kind of a like a night out, like a time out.
Yeah,
size.
Exactly.
Time out.
Oh,
size.
What's on?
Yeah.
Magazine.
Yeah.
It gives you all the local information of all the
reviews. And they always have interviews with, and we're talking about the upstage, they always have interviews with major stars.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It's pretty impressive.
It is.
You know? And musicians and all of that. And The Rag is a tabloid size. It's a tabloid size, kind of like the same size as Tri-City.
Something like that.
So look for it, though. It's a biweekly tabloid and can be found between Seabright and Point Pleasant, all points in between. Restaurants, local bartenders, musicians, independent filmmakers, and local artists as well. So jump on the bandwagon and you get the next wave of entertainment reporting. Pick up your copy of The Rag today. DeSeno and Coons, LLP, 605 Madison Avenue, Asbury Park. You hear those drums in my ear. Drum, 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 drum. DeSeno and Coons offers counseling and personal injury and workers' compensation claims. Maura, ask Jen if she wants to come on the air. She won't, but they handle real estate closings, municipal court matters, including DUI cases and divorce and visitation issues. Initial consultation is always free. Night and weekend appointments are possible. Call Tommy DeSeno. He's a good guy. Call Tommy at 732-869-1500. That's 869-1500. He's also the Justified Right columnist, but we don't hold that against him most weeks. You know, I want to say, too, that I dropped the kids off this afternoon. It was a little respite, you know. Drops them off at Casa Picasso, which is a great ceramic studio right over next to that restored Neptune High School, which is really nice. And they have such an assortment of ceramics, such creative ideas, so many different designs and things that you wouldn't think about, you know. Some of them are whimsical, some of them are practical, but they're already made up. You don't have to mess with that. And you paint them, and then they, you leave them there, and you come back in a couple of days, and they've been, whatever you ordered, the glazing or whatever, it's been through the ovens and the whole thing. And the kids can sit there and paint till their heart's content. And Valerie Taylor, the wonderful owner of Casa Picasso, doesn't bother you. Doesn't say, get these kids out of here. You know, she's very good, very good. So give the kids a treat, you know, and if you have little ones visiting and you're wondering what to do with them, especially when it rains at the beach, Casa Picasso will save your life. It's right across from Clancy's and that whole Ocean Grove Shopping Center, so just keep a lookout for that. And you're listening to this show tonight live over the radio and hopefully over the web as well, in a few hours in recorded form as well on the web. And all of that service is graciously brought to you by Pete Walton. The web streaming of Restore by the Shore is part of AsburyPark.net's service that they supply to us at Restore. And as you know, AsburyPark.net is your source for Asbury Park news and information 24 hours a day. Always check out AsburyPark.net. And you can get there also from our site, from RestoreRadio.com. And you can also use AsburyRadio.com if that's easier for you to remember. And the hardware store is another supporter of this show for 4 years now. And they're a very, very good hardware store, family run and family owned. And they have the big store prices just the same. So you don't have to worry about going all the way out to the highway when you want to buy lumber, believe it or not, and concrete and tools. If you need to rent a tool, you go right on over there, or if you want to buy one. Oh my God, Chris is here. That's great. That is wonderful. An AP Hardware Store at yahoo.com is how you... We're on the air. The late visitor here. The hardware store, AP Hardware Store at yahoo.com is a modern way you can get a hold of them. Or just go to 428 Main Street for the hardware store in Asbury Park. The firm of Bowen Furnicola, LLC, in the Galleria in Red Bank. Call Bowen Furnicola at 732-345-0600. That's 345-0600 for Bowen Furnicola. They're specialists in condemnation, eminent domain, and redevelopment law. So if you want, you can certainly call up 732-345-0600. Ask for... Paul Furnicola, and he'll be glad to give you information and schedule an appointment with you to talk about eminent domain, which is, you know, in the paper everywhere. Chris Cipriano just joined us. He's a councilman in Ocean Township, and we didn't think we were going to see him tonight, so this is an unexpected pleasure. He's going to be talking about the whole beach access topic as well. And, of course, Jersey Urban Renewal brings this show to the air as well. And they do that because they want you to know that they have a building that is threatened by eminent domain right now. It's at 212 2nd Avenue in Asbury Park, just one block from the Atlantic Ocean. It's a Spanish Mission-style architecture with old-world charm, and the developers of Jersey Court Condominiums plan to restore the Jersey to its original romantic grace, just as it did the adjacent Britwoods Court. And take a look at the Britwoods Court. You can see it on our website or go there in person to 2nd Avenue in Asbury Park. And that's jerseycondominiums.com if you want to go out to that site. All right. If you want to call the city, tell them to save that building, which can be housing people in very short order, instead of becoming rubble, which we have plenty of and we don't need any more. Thank you. 732-775-2100. That's 775-2100 for City Hall. Okay. If anybody you know wants to sponsor this show, please have them call me, Maureen Nevin, at 732-774-0779. That's 774-0779. And take advantage of our web advertising, too. Go to AsburyRadio at AOL.com if you want to send us an email. And if you want to get more information about advertising rates, that's right up there on the website, either AsburyRadio.com or RestoreRadio.com. Okay, and we've done the sponsors, and now we're on to the shoe. Actually, we want to J-Pat will be calling in tonight. We have Paul Williams is going to be calling in tonight about Sophie. He was actually on the beach. I hear a phone ringing. Is that... I thought it was my cell phone. But let's see. We also have some announcements very quickly here. Is that J-Pat?
No, it's Katie.
It's Katie?
Yeah.
I didn't think you could talk.
I know I can't talk, so I just wanted me to call in.
Do you want to say a couple of words about Casa Picasso?
I physically can't.
Why is it? Well, explain why, because Robert's not suffocating you, right?
Well, Robert's shy, but, you know.
Yeah, so he won't speak for you?
No.
Okay. But tell people why you can't speak, you know, right out.
I got my braces in, and they're, like, really bothering me. I'm going to have, like, a lisp for the next, like, 3 days.
You don't sound bad, though. You know, you're not going to have a lisp that long. I can tell, because you're picking up very quickly.
I was practicing at Casa Picasso.
What's that?
I was practicing while I was at Casa Picasso waiting for you.
Well, you're doing very well. And Casa Picasso, we were just saying, you had a great time with the ceramics.
Mm-hmm.
And you made, what, a little moon?
I made a fairy with the moon, and my brother made a car with a Porsche 911 with flames.
With flames? Yeah, and it looks pretty classy.
Yeah.
And what was it like there? Was it inviting? Was it fun?
Very inviting, and, yeah, I had a lot of fun.
Very friendly. Val's easy to work with, yeah?
Hmm?
Val's very easy to work with, Valerie Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had a good time. That's great. So we're gonna that's a keeper, right? We're gonna go back there again?
Yeah, and Mom heard what you said about her earlier.
She did, huh? She doesn't want to say it. Did she listen to? Oh, she must have heard it over the radio. She was actually listening to the show.
Yeah, we are now.
Oh my goodness! Are you in the car driving along?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. This is so cool.
We're passing by Casa Picasso right now.
Oh wow! And it's very colorful. It looks kind of Picasso-ish with very bright colors.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Very very Spanish colors. So does your mom want to say anything?
No, she's kind of shy and she's driving. It's against the law, she says.
It's against the law to talk on the radio while you're driving? Is there?
On the cell phone while you're driving.
Everything's against the law now. All right. Well, I appreciate your calling in.
Okay.
How about Robert? Did he have a good time?
Yeah, he did.
All right. Well, we'll see you, a week from Monday?
Yeah, and thanks for getting my braces for me, Grammy.
Oh, you're welcome, honey. We should plug the dentist, by the way. Dr. Isaacson?
Huh?
Dr. Isaacson?
Yes.
Okay, in West Long Branch. Good orthodontist. Go there. Is he good or what?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. You would recommend him, huh?
Yes.
All right. There you go. You can't get a better... And we get 30% off. No. You can't get a better endorsement than that. I mean, the day you get the braces on and you still love the dentist, that's got to be a good dentist. Richard Isaacson. In West Long Branch. Okay, kiddo. And we want to thank Dr. Leitner, who referred us to him. That's great. Okay, sweetheart.
All right, bye-bye.
See you next week. Love you.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That's great. We have a bit of everything on this show, you know. We want to remind people that Steel Pier Sinners is a finalist in Little Stevie's Battle of the Garage Bands. That's Stevie Van Zandt from The Sopranos. And also from Bruce's band, and, you know, he gets around. And he's also running this competition, and Steel Pier Sinners, our buddies Megan and Trina and the gang, are finalists in that. And they're going to be tomorrow night at Irving Plaza, so if you want to go out there in their final competition and support them, huh? So go out there to Irving Plaza. It's in New York, okay? And July 30th, they will be at Hank's in Brooklyn, so stay in touch with them. It's a moving, happening thing. The Lisinski sisters want us to be sure to tell you that National Night Out will be Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, August 3rd, 6:30 to 8 p.m., and that's a very important event. That's at the intersection of Prospect and Fangs Avenue, and... they'll rally against the crime and violence in the area. Bring a poster if you are so inclined, so you can walk along with your poster. All right? And we'll try and remember to tell you about that one more time before we go off the air. And I actually got something in the mail today from a listener. This is Mark Lipman of Mark Lipman and the Luscious Lola the Lip. Kind of hard to say. I wouldn't want to try that with braces, I'll tell you. And he's got this great CD he sent along. He listens from Florida, but he'll be up here. He said, I'll be listening tonight. Sent me a little email. Oh, no, it's a post-it note. He says, Maureen, hope you'll be able to play some of this today. Okay, all right. Well, we'll do it today. I didn't even give this to you. I'm so sorry. Lupe, that's why, you know, we need a sound engineer who can bounce, you know. He says, I hope you can play, we'll be listening, so this is for, this is called Asbury Park Rumba, so this will get you in the mood for Asbury Park. We'll just play a little bit of this, okay? Hey, thanks, Mark, thanks for sending it up. DHL, too, you know, the guy's got class.
There ain't no use fussing, ain't no use fretting. Our Jersey Shore memories we will not be forgetting. We used to love cruising along the Long Branch Ocean, watching miles of sunshine, tourists covered in lotion. but now the street ends where the strip used to be. Drive a few miles south, same thing in Asbury. They auction the carousel where Bruce filmed his video. Goodbye Music Museum, where the world came to see him. They told N.E.W. no to the great summer rock and roll show. They get you to Playland and Rye. The developers, they want money. They don't want the money. The wind is crying, Mary. Next, they want the pony. Now they took the palace, no gorilla in the fun house at all. Remember hot dogs at Ducky's and the doors at Convention Hall. Do you remember the day of the beer garden at Mrs. J's? Let it not be forgotten, the great times of hitting in bottom. Cookman Avenue stores are opening shutter doors. Great days, they're coming back to the town. Coming back with a passion. New life is sprouting like flowers and trees on the sidewalks around Mr. Fashion. The boardwalk amusements and all of our dreams. Jersey Shore memories once more will beam in. As very far. As very far. Yeah, bright days are coming this way. Music will forever stay. Musicians in Asbury, each are a star. Let's all meet together at our wonder bar in Asbury. In Asbury. In Asbury.
And that's our friend Mark, our friends Mark and Joan Lipman. The Lip and Luscious Lola the Lip with their Asbury Park rumba. I almost said Florida rumba, but they're down in Florida, but they're going to be up for the Labor Day weekend, so we really appreciate them sending us that CD, and there's a few more cuts on there that we'll play before they get up here in September. Right now, we have a caller who is calling in. He's our own Jay Pat, who performs regularly at the Wonder Bar, and I think we might be plugged into the Wonder Bar tonight. And J-Pat is very sweet to call in each week and give us the lowdown of what it's like to be a musician from Asbury on the road in Switzerland, in San Moritz, in fact. And we're going to go to, we're going to ask Sophie to don't talk while the mic is open, and we're going to go to J-Pat. Are we still
there
now? Okay. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. What's happening in Switzerland?
Well, the weather's not so bad right now.
Yeah.
I'm sitting outside. I actually, it's very funny because about an hour ago, a guy that was drunk driving crashed in front of a little gate in front of the police officer.
Oh my God!
And they're trying to like straighten the gate out right now, so it's kind of amusing.
Well, you know, the Europeans have always been a little more liberal about that sort of thing. Are they still, or do they lock him up and take their license away like they do here now?
Well, I don't know about taking his license away, but they definitely towed his car and took him and arrested him tonight.
So maybe they aren't so so open about that.
Like, there was actually like a stop right outside where I'm playing tonight, where the police were like pulling people, and as they were pulling this guy, he crashed.
As they were pulling him? What do you mean pulling him?
Well, they were pulling him aside, saying, you know, come on over here, let's smell your breath, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, it was a checkpoint.
And he crashes as they're pulling him.
Oh, my God. He didn't pass that checkpoint, did he?
No, it was perfect because me and another guy were standing there watching the whole thing. And, you know, it was just, even the policeman was kind of giggling to himself, kind of like, look, we asked this guy to pull over and crash.
No.
But anyway.
Didn't,
but other than that, things are good. I'm starting to get used to the idea that I'm singing six nights a week here, you know.
Yeah, so you're getting a routine. You're getting into that the kind of physical, like an athlete kind of.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think what I'm doing is I'm gaining a lot of experience for the people that are doing like the every night of the week, like the the singers in Vegas maybe, you know, or like the singers at the big hotspot spots, like, or you know, the cruise line people, you know, those guys that are
or Broadway
that are singing and performing every night, like hard, you know, night.
Well,
that's
look
kind
at
of what I'm doing every night.
Right, and the Broadway stars who have to do what 7 days a week in the matinee, right?
Well, I mean, I remember,
yeah.
I mean, not many people really know this, but I used to do a lot of theater when I was younger, and I actually got to do, I was in Hair for a little while.
I didn't know
not a huge company of Hair, but I used to do it, we did it like every night of the week for a while, and I'm feeling the same way as I did then, although I'm a little older and I got a few more gray hairs in me, and I'm not bouncing back as quick as I did when I was in
wait
my teens and
20s. Old is relative.
True.
Extremely relative. Sophie,
that's
would
true.
You say so too? How old are you, Sophie? Tell J-Pat how old you are. You're 39. Okay.
I'm 29? Is that right?
29? No, she actually made it 39. She could have gone 29.
Ah, right.
Well, she was on the front page of the press, so she really can't lie about this. It said she was 81, but I can't believe that. You know how they get those things wrong all the time.
What was she doing on the front page of the press?
She was sticking to her guns about beach access.
Oh,
her right to
what's
sit.
Going on with beach access?
Well, you know, this fellow Kasten bought the public beach club, made it a private beach club, and he seems to have this idea in his head that there is no public trust doctrine which allows you to sit on the high water mark or 10 feet above it, right? Of the high water mark. So Sophie and the rest of the people in Loch Garber who want access to that beach go down there and sit on the high water mark. But unfortunately, Sophie, the police didn't know what was the law, and they carted Sophie off the beach.
You know what? This is a good topic for me to talk about, if you don't mind me going into this topic.
Sure, that's fine, because that's what we're going to do next anyway.
Okay, well, then I'll have a quick little segue. Myself... I am a former veteran, if you will, of the Bay Head beaches, and I have worked there for years. I probably put in about 10 years altogether in different facets.
Lifeguard.
I was a beach employee there. I was a badge checker. I was a beach cleaner when I was a little kid. I was and I was one of the walking around guys with the walkie-talkie and the bathing suit, which was like kind of like a supervisor idea. And I'll tell you, there are people that know the law, and the thing that really like all police know the law. They really, if they don't understand that the high water mark is fair game, then I don't understand who is hiring these people, because New Jersey is one of, there's not many states in the United States that charge beach access.
Yeah.
I have no complaints because
the beach.
Having worked on the beach and knowing where the money goes, like I understand. Like I understand the deal that like Bay Head is a funny town because all the houses on the beach, like all the properties on the beach, own the sand down to the high water line. like that was part of the charter when they originally founded the town. So if you bought a house on the beach, you owned all that sand. But here's the problem, New Jersey, you have to allow access to the beach no matter who they are and what they do. You have to allow people on there.
And that overrides the home rule.
That's the absolute law, that you cannot keep someone from going to the beach. Now, you may make them pay a few dollars, but there has to be public access. There is no such thing really as a private beach because New Jersey state law allows. Now, they made a bunch of... Now, especially if people are fishermen. Fishermen can walk right on without a badge, nothing. They walk right on with their fishing pole if they aren't fishing. That is a real big rule. So what you can do is tell anybody down there in Lock Harbor, say, look, if you want to have a nice protest, march everybody down there with fishing poles, and if anyone tries to stop them, forget it. They won't go.
Well, you know, they don't try and stop the fishermen. They seem to have some kind of special angel that watches over them.
Well, because fishermen, one of the clauses to allow the absolute access of beach for the public was for fishermen, because fishing still constitutes as like a right to survive kind of thing.
Right. They can't interfere with your right to earn a living, right?
Yeah, I think that and you know, I mean, you can tell someone, look, I don't have any money, I need to eat, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that was kind of part of the deal.
See,
I mean, like,
sense.
It's just like there are people fishing off the jetties for dinner, like, you know, in Point Pleasant. Like, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's, you know, this is definitely an amiable thing.
Well, Jeff Gill just...
That I had plenty of experience with people coming down and like working through all the rules and whatever, because like I said, they had owned, like the beaches are owned by the house in front.
So they have
the ultimate domain, but even though they have ultimate domain and it's their property, even though there's no fence up, they have to allow people on.
Right. You know, it's funny that you should mention Bayhead, because Jeff Gill, who is here from Lock Harbor, and he's another sympathizer with Sophie for the cause there. He's also run for trustee in Lock Harbor as well. He just handed me this court document here. It's David Sampson, Attorney General of New Jersey, versus Bayhead Point Homeowners Association, Inc., and Nick Calavita, president of Bayhead Point Homeowners Association. This goes back, what's the year on this?
Are you sure it's Bayhead and Point or just Bay Point?
Bayhead Point Homeowners Association.
Really? What year is that on there?
I'm trying to see that, quite a while ago.
Trucks doctrine was really put into clarification. Basically, if you look right there, those two counts.
Yeah, you have to speak into the mic, though, because he can't hear what you're saying.
I can't hear you.
We're losing it. It said, pursuant to the public trust doctrine of the state of New Jersey, all members of the public have the right to use a reasonable portion of the dry sand area under private ownership that are adjacent to tidally flowed lands if that use is reasonably necessary for full recreational enjoyment of the ocean in tidally flowed areas. So this looks pretty old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is... basically the first case that I know of where the public trust doctrine was really put into words. And it's really unfettered access
to
the beach.
Unfettered access, yeah.
And that includes surfing, relaxing, resting, fishing, anything you want to do. There is a certain amount of sand that you can feel free to walk on without charge. You know, it's different if there was a paid public beach where you have to buy beach tags or stuff like that. This is basically for the private owners of beaches that they must let the public on.
Right.
And that's just the bottom line. And in our town, the big confusion is the people in power in our town think that you are not allowed to stop and sit. You can do everything
else.
Yeah,
they think that you can keep walking.
And you could fish, you could surf, you could do anything, but God forbid you take out a chair and sit down.
Yeah.
So,
but this is...
That's basically where the confusion is, and I have a copy of the final determination of the public trust doctrine from July of 2002.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if you want us to keep you on a long-distance call from Switzerland while we read this, but we definitely will be getting into this later. The final determination was in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the landmark case then.
Yes.
Matthews versus Bayhead Improvement Association.
Yeah, the Bayhead Improvement Association. That's who I worked for. I'm very familiar with that. Yeah.
See, serendipitous. Very serendipitous. It's always
like
a lot of fun.
I couldn't have planned a better phone call today.
Exactly. But tell us how the audiences are now. Are you still at the same club, or did you move clubs?
Well, I'm still here at the Stubli Bar.
The Stubli Bar.
Which I discovered, Stubli means stable. And I think what this part of the hotel that I'm in, it used to be part of, like, the Staples.
Oh, is that right? Did you kind of pick up a whiff on a rainy day?
And so it's the Stubli Bar. And I'm here, I just got off stage, you know, at 8 o'clock. Your time.
Ah.
It's, you know what, the audience here is, I'm having great nights, and I had the greatest night last Saturday that I've had here, and it was unbelievable. There's four tables in the bar. It's a tiny little bar.
Oh.
Four tables. One of the tables is a booth with a low little ceiling on it.
Oh.
All four tables have people dancing on them.
Oh, wow.
Now, the thing that really gets me is that I'm the underdog here. You know, I'm the covers guy that doesn't have the drum machines and all that other nonsense, you know, which there's nothing wrong with. I just don't have
right.
it all.
Right.
And so here I am. I'm just me, my guitar, and a foot to stomp with, and I've got the
and
whole
your harmonica.
Bar, like 60, 70 people packed in, all dancing and singing. So I was like...
You know? That is
we, like, triumphed, finally.
You got to get this on tape so we can see this when you get back. We'll put it up on the Wonder
Bar. I don't have access to any equipment, but there's two girls that were here the other night. They were here for a few nights. They took some pictures.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to email me the pictures that they have, so I'll be able to show something.
I'll put them up on the site.
Yeah. It was so hot in this bar that, like, I was sweating more than I had ever sweat at any performance I've ever had.
Are you still wearing your shorts with the
pockets all over?
Dripping
off of my eyebrow, off my nose. It was just insane.
Hey, that's good stuff.
Fun, you know?
That's good stuff.
And when people are responsive like that, I think any performer in any performance.
It's great.
If the people are there with you the whole time, you know, and they're like into it, then it's great no matter what you're singing.
Yeah,
or how many
happening.
Times you sing the same song, you know, they just keep asking for it again. Do this again, and everyone goes, you know.
And these were, like, from everywhere, right? You mentioned the Italian, French, everybody, right?
Yeah, everybody's Italian, French, Portuguese, German, Swiss, Czech. I get everybody here.
And they all relate.
I even had a bunch of Scandinavians, and boy, they're fun.
Hey, you know, you mentioned earlier you wanted to know what's happening back home. You know, Tilly is alive and well again.
I saw this on the web.
Did you see the picture on the Wonder Bar?
Yeah, I saw this.
And did you hear about the funeral that they're going to have?
Yes.
The official?
The New Orleans-style funeral. I did read that,
yeah. Is that cool?
That's excellent. I think, whatever.
July 24th.
You know?
It's this Saturday night. And at 6 o'clock, it's going to start at the Palace Amusements. And Grand Marshal Kevin Feehan.
Oh, man, that's great. He's the Grand Marshal, huh?
He's been practicing to this old 007 movie, Live and Let Die.
Yes,
it starts with the New Orleans funeral.
Well, you didn't see that film?
Yeah. I'd forgotten how great that was.
When I saw that movie as a little kid, that was one of my favorite parts of the film was the funeral. Like,
I'm watching,
what's going on? And suddenly everyone, it's a big party. You know?
Kevin's going to be the Grand Marshal.
That's great.
So it's going to be very cool.
You better walk slowly like the guy in the beginning, you know, like where he takes one step at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he is going to do that. Yeah,
nice.
We'll have to videotape that. Put it on DVD. So are you in San Maritz for another week? Where are you going to be
here,
calling from next week?
Well, actually, things are changing in my itinerary, which is good and bad. I'm here till the end of July.
Okay.
Tomorrow I'm calling a guy. I just took a show on August 1st in another town nearby. Now, this is an interesting thing. We have 4th of July, and, you know, which is Independence Day. Switzerland has a day on August 1st, which is when the first states, or cantons as they call them, like about 800 years ago, got together and started forming Switzerland.
Ah.
So that holiday is coming up. And so I got booked for like a daytime party to play somebody's, you know, it's at a restaurant. So I'm going to do that on August 1st.
I've never heard of that.
And then I'm going to Austria to hang out in the Alps for a few days on vacation.
Hey.
You know, but here's the interesting
so
thing
jealous.
Is that I was planning on going to Poland for a week.
Yeah, you are, yeah.
But the person who I was going to Poland with, the violin player, it doesn't look like she's going to be able to come all of a sudden.
Now,
this is where it gets exciting in JPET Strip here.
Yeah.
This is where if people are following along with my stories on AsburyMusic.com, they'll start seeing interesting things happening. Because now I need to find something to do productive during that week that I had allocated for Poland.
So we're going to see how you ad-lib.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to ad lib, like, you know, this is when a professional musician has to, like, you know, come up with, you know, something to do that's, you know, productive.
I
could go find a studio somewhere and try to record an album for, you know, a few days, or I could end up just doing street performances for a couple of days in a couple of interesting cities, or uh-huh. I'm waiting on a bunch of bars in Eastern Europe to get back to me right now. So things, I mean,
okay.
My whole trip just went different, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the way it should be, too.
Yeah,
that's
I
the
mean,
best
it's,
way.
It's, but
you
when,
don't want
you
to
know,
cook
if
tour.
You ask any touring musician anywhere, just say, so what happens when you're on tour through the South and suddenly a week of gigs just goes away? What do you do?
What do you do then? Well, this is good.
I go,
This is good. You can tell us how we should do this.
Well, that's what people, just
that's
hopefully,
right.
Like I said, hopefully people are following along with my stories.
Yeah, Tony's going to be coming over there. I think September he's going to, well, not to Switzerland. I think he's just going to London again, I think.
Who is?
Tony Amato.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yes, he's in New York.
Nice. All right.
Well, listen, we better run along because we have a caller that's going to be coming in any second.
I'm sorry, I don't want to keep you.
Paul
Thanks
Williams
for putting me on. I'd like
in.
To say hello to the Wonder Bar and Company.
Hey, shout out there to Wonder Bar.
Shout out to Dennis and Company and the
cool.
Days Away Kids and like I said.
And when is your diary going to go up there?
It's up there now.
You know, I looked all over. I couldn't find it. Send me the
front
link.
Page. It's right on the front page.
All right.
You scroll down, like, halfway through, like you scroll down a little bit from the front page, and you'll see a picture of me. A handsome, you know,
striking young man. You never gave your age, by the way.
Oh, I'm
Not
old.
There.
It's terrible.
Not fair. We got Sophie's age. Now you got to give yours, JPEG. Come on.
Oh, I'm 30.
Oh.
That's terrible. I turn 30 March 1st.
Where's my drum roll?
Emily, go to, if you go to asburymusic.com.
All right, we'll go there.
The updates, a bunch of new stories are up right now, and there'll be a bunch of more tomorrow, actually.
Okay, we'll look.
And it's right on the front page. When you go down, it says Web Extras.
Web Extras, all right.
There's just a picture of me, a shot from me playing at Harry's Roadhouse, actually.
Wow. Okay,
so. But anyway, listen, I'm going to let you go. I'm sorry, I don't want to keep you. Have a great night. Thanks for letting me chat with you.
Looking forward to hearing from you next week.
You will. You'll be hearing from me all summer, every Thursday, wherever I am. Have a good night.
Good night, J-Pat. Thanks a lot. That's J-Pat from Switzerland. All right. So cool. Very international. And I think this is going to be Paul Williams.
Cell phone or what?
I don't know. Is it? We're chatting here. This is we didn't do like a big formal introduction. We've got, of course, Sophie Bubis, as we said, and Jeff Gill and Christopher Siciliano, councilman of Township of Ocean, has joined us, and now we have a caller joining us as well. And I think that's going to be Paul. Good evening, and welcome to Restore Radio.
Yes, good evening. Maureen?
Yeah, is that you, Paul?
Yes, this is Paul Williams of Rock Auburn.
Okay, great. I'm glad you could call in.
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, you're up there having dinner up in North Jersey in Union County, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Whereabouts are you? What town?
Hello?
What town are you?
I'm right now. I'm in Cranford.
I love Cranford. Great.
Really?
Great. Yeah. Yeah. I got good friends there.
Great town. Very, very nice.
Yeah.
I live in Linden and Rock Auburn.
I know the McDermott's up there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So so now you happen to be on the beach with Sophie.
Yes.
Right?
I happened to walk upon the occasion when the two policemen were talking to Sophie and telling her that she had to leave the beach. And I introduced myself to them, and I told them I live in Lock Harbor for about 40 or 50 years. And I said to them, why are you making her leave? And they said, well, she's not allowed here. And I said, well, anybody can sit here and occupy the beach and enjoy the scenery and so forth.
Right.
And they said, well, no, she has to leave. And I said to them, she has a perfect right, according to New Jersey statutes and so forth, that she can occupy the beach and enjoy the scenery.
Yeah.
And they continued to say, well, no, she has to leave. And I said, well, Sophie, I think maybe we'll lose the fight, but I think we'll win the war if we just leave and leave these two officers alone.
Right.
So Sophie and I picked up her chairs and when we left the beach, which was a terrible disappointment to her.
Yeah. Now, how did it end up being an arrest, though? How did she end up getting charged with trespass?
Well, I don't know the exact reasons as to why. I think,
were you there then?
They told her that she was not allowed to occupy the sand where she was sitting, but it was obviously way below the high water mark where she was sitting, because it was below the rocks, as I noticed them to be.
Yeah.
And she had a perfect right to sit there. But, of course, the police were doing the bidding of Mr. Casson, who was the owner of the beach, so forth and so on. But she was certainly within her rights to occupy the premises where she was.
Right. However, the police apparently are not very well informed about local ordinances or the state law in this case.
That's absolutely correct. I believe the attorney for the town of Ocean should advise the police as to the rights of the citizens.
Yeah.
And people who want to occupy the premises.
Right.
Obviously, this is not the case where they're just told that at the behest of Mr. Casson that they should come down and tell the people to leave.
Right.
Which is a direct violation of New Jersey statutes and so forth.
Paul, we have with us Chris Siciliano, a councilman from Ocean Township tonight. I think he's going to address that. Can you, we need to get that mic up a little bit higher on Paul.
Hi.
I mean, on Chris. Can you hear Chris now, Paul?
Yes, thank you.
Hi, hello, Paul. How are you?
Hi, thank you.
Yes, that's great. I did talk to our township attorney, Mr. English, briefly today. We'll be discussing this next week, of course, because they're involved in numerous other projects right now. And also, our chief, I believe our police must have thought in their mind they were doing the right thing. They just wouldn't have come arbitrarily and said, Sophie, it's time to leave. You're doing something wrong. In their mind, they really thought they were doing the right thing. So, yes, a little more information about, you know, what the actual rights are, what the ordinance are, and how, you know, this mean high watermark works, and if somebody's allowed to have repose, et cetera, et cetera. They need to be well-versed in that. If we're going to take on the work over there at Lock Harbor, at least we'll know a little bit about the beachfront. After all, that's really, that's
steady turf. I mean, it's
pretty much it.
Part of the job.
We have, let me tell you, I got to tell you, it's a great police force,
right.
And our chief is just a wonderful man, and they're very sincere and attentive. And believe me, the word gets to the chief, he'll discuss it with the officers, and you know they'll establish what's the right and wrong thing to do, and they'll do what they feel is really right.
I don't understand why they go out on a call without checking and saying, well, okay, you know, or, you know, how did they know it was illegal to begin with? Do they just take the owner's word for it?
You know, sometimes it's, you know, they have to make that call right there on the spot, and you're right, if they're riding around and they're somewhere else in town and they don't know the case and don't have time to look up the case here, so-and-so calls, complains, there's someone trespassing around my property. Oh, you own the property? I mean, I think it's well known that Cassin's own that property, but to what extent? Again, our whole issue here and why I supported
there
Sophie.
There seems to be a lot of confusion about
this. There's a lot
issue.
Of confusion about
I've
it.
I've heard people say, well, it's true you can go on the beach, but you can't stop walking. You just have to keep walking.
And that's it. I'm reading all these numerous and copious letters to the editors, et cetera, and they're saying, oh, gee, well, you can go here, you can have 10 feet within the water mark and this and that. That's not so. If you look along other beaches, along Jersey, even Allenhurst, Steele, right on that, and there's a bulkhead, and pretty much that establishes here, the bulkhead, that's it, that's the high water mark you own to there, and your littoral rights, your riparian rights extend just to there, and you can use the beach, etc. You can't block someone out.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it's reprehensible.
Because that's a natural resource, right?
It's like buying the rights to Old Faithful and saying, okay, I don't want anybody looking upon this now. I bought the rights.
You
can't do that. God gave us that.
Perhaps.
Exactly, that berm thing. You know, that gets my ire up. So.
And you did. You wrote about that in the coaster, didn't you?
I wrote about restoring the old public access as well. I mean, they made this impassable access as a, here's what we'll do. We'll let you pass along these, sharp rocks here and see if you can navigate that and hope your cane doesn't get stuck in that. I mean, come on. What's that?
Ridiculous.
These people have to have, a passable access to the ocean. If you want to sit and have repose and you're not within that area, why not? I don't see what Sophie did was so wrong.
Jeff, you were going to add something here?
Yeah, I was reading the police report, and obviously the officers really didn't know what the deal was until they approached Mayor Rosenblatt, who said that if she sat on our beach without a badge, we'd get rid of her. you know, we take her, we'd escort her off the beach. Not telling the officers
that's not the issue.
That that's a paid beach, a public beach that you pay to get on, and the other is a private beach where there's no facilities.
Access
and
that's wasn't the question. It was
really
it
was intellectually dishonest to it was in a way to say go get her. Because they went to the L.A. The Lock Harbor manager of the beach with Mr. Rosenblatt, and they said, you know, if she sat her chair on our beach, we'd get rid of her. And without a badge.
And added fire to the
plane. And that's when the police went over and said, you know, you've got to leave.
Yeah.
And that's when
everything...
The difference,
so
right, that's a public paid beach.
They're getting reinforced by
They went to
by another
our
official.
Mayor for,
sure.
for guidance, and they sent the dogs after her.
So that's why the police acted the way they
right.
did. I don't
they,
want anybody to think
no
this
really,
anybody.
They
just,
as I can tell from the police report, they really tried to respect
absolutely.
Her.
Yeah.
But still, you know, you
but
see...
But here they have
here.
The mayor of the next town, or that town...
That's the authority.
Local authority.
I want to inject something.
Sure, so.
Because at one point.
Paul, do you want to stay on and listen?
Well, no, I'm listening to what you're saying. It's a little difficult, but I just want to tell them that Mrs. Bubis was just harassed by the police at the behest of Mr. Casson, and people are just, you know, being used. By them, the police are being used by Mr. Casson, and it's not right. I think there should be a stop to it.
Let me just say now, I didn't call Mr. Casson and invite him on the air again this year. I invite him once a year, and he never returns my calls. And I did give up this year. I'm sorry, I should have.
Thank you for having me on, and I'd be glad to come to your station at whatever
Paul.
Is convenient for you.
Let's make a date. I would like that very much.
Nice hearing from you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul Williams.
But have a good evening.
You too. Now. Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah. You know what I wanted to say? That,
in the mic.
Yeah. At one point during the time that, Mr. Casson was harassing me, I wanted to bring this boombox radio that was placed right behind my chair, and they were harassing me with other things, but at this at the point that I'm telling this story about, they had left, but the radio was up against the back of my chair, and I said, well, I have to turn this thing off. So I got up and facing the cabana, right where Mr. Casson, you know, was watching the happenings, and I couldn't turn the radio off. So I looked up, and he motioned to me to come to him. So I motioned back, and I said, no, you come down here.
Yeah.
So neither of us moved. And I said, well, I can't turn this radio off. I'm going to bring it up to him, you know, return it to him. So I started going towards the cabana, and I realized he was setting me up. So he started to snap my picture.
Oh.
Had somebody doing it for him, one of his staff. He said, one, two, you know, they kept taking it, one, two, three, as I advanced. And then when I finally got there, he said, oh, that's good, get one more. So I said to him, Jack, you told me to come up here. He said, no, I didn't. I said, you waved me on. He said, I was just waving to you. I said, you know, besides everything else, you're lying. So
yeah.
I said, you're harassing me. He said, well, if you go and sit over in front of the rocks, right, it'll all end. So, of course, I wasn't going to do that. I just put the radio down and walked back to my seat. Now, when the officer first came to me and told me that I was on private property and I would have to move,
right.
I said to them that, does he want me to sit closer to the ocean? And they said, no, he wants you to sit over near the rocks, in front of the rocks.
Would be farther up the beach, close to his own property, right?
No, that's just south, where I would be on a par with where I was, laterally on a par, but where he couldn't see me, and that was what he wanted. He can't seem to face the fact that there's going to be some people sitting in front of him. So
he blocks out your view with the berm. You go down and enjoy the ocean, and then he motions to get you off, of course,
I'm blocking
his view.
Can
you imagine
the
impudence?
Mention the berm
my. Anyway, I just had to say that because they're telling me that I'm on, I can't sit where I was, but if I go over in front of the rocks, I could sit.
And that area that he motioned to, it's, you know, it's really dangerous for anybody to sit there. You're right up against the water, and your back is against all these rocks.
Mm-hmm.
So a good wave comes, and
it's filthy there.
You're roadkill.
There's filth. It's still
no man's land. It's not well maintained.
The public trust doctrine begins and ends right in that little corner.
Has he ever read it? I mean, I saw something that he wrote recently. And
very good attorneys. They must explain to him, I mean, exactly.
The thing that you copied me on, Sophie, that he had written, made reference to, you know, she has to be down by the waterline. She can't be
which I was,
how he had it screwed up.
In the wet sand area. I mean,
yeah, but it's 10 feet above the wet mark.
In fact, I was way below the high water mark. I was way below it. Because I always sat near the ocean.
But he was quoting, you know, saying that he was within his rights and misquoting the law, which I thought was odd.
Well, it's clearly, I mean, it's a case of harassment. They're creating Hatfields and McCoys here. And it all started by one man just trying to think he had, you know, the right to block out the hold and come to enjoy the beach all by himself without anybody else. And that's just can't be done.
It starts to degrade into personality things. Right. But it starts with, it eventually gets to that, but it starts with a misunderstanding of the law as it stands because people aren't reinforcing it.
Right.
Right.
So this whole thing was very degrading, I have to say. I mean, people were watching me. There was somebody.
And now you still have to go to court. I don't understand why she should still have to go to court now that, you know, the police
issued a summons. So you have to answer that. You have to show up. Unfortunately, it wasn't something that could just go away there.
Even though that there was no legal basis for the summons to be written?
Well, it was, actually, if you look at what the officers responded to, again, the mayor, who was there of Lock Arbor, and who indicated to them, this is the correct thing to do. They're trespassing, so they issued a summons, I guess, based on that.
Summons for trespass.
For trespass.
However, it wasn't trespass.
Technically, it wasn't, but in their mind, it was. And so that's the unfortunate part of it. She's going to have to go and answer to that. But, you know, like you said, Maureen, we're going to have establish what's the procedure there, where's the high water mark, what somebody's entitled to, and once that the Ocean Township Police understand that, once they get that information to them, they won't be harassing, or they're not harassing, but they won't be acting on the behest of somebody to eject somebody from a beach that they're entitled to be on.
I just don't understand why they don't just take the ticket and tear it up. Because
unfortunately, once it's written, it's a document, it's there.
And so it's got to be adjudicated through the process. So now, when is this? What date did this happen, first of all? The trespass.
The trespass on June
27th. You have to go to court when for this?
August 2nd.
So it's next Tuesday.
However, immediately after that happened, I said to the officer, you know, I'd like to make a counter-complaint against Mr. Casson for harassment and abuse. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, you'll have to go to the police station for that.
Now, I understand that. Let's stop right there. Why shouldn't the policeman have been as spontaneous with Sophie as he was with Mr. Casson?
I guess it's just like any other complaint. If you want to make a counter-complaint, you know, the police were called to remove Sophie from this fellow's property. If she wants a counter-complaint, go down and have to fill out a report, etc. And it's just a formality. It's the way it's done.
No,
but
that is the end of it. That wasn't the end of it. I did that. Okay? I did that on Monday. That was the following day because Sunday is when that incident occurred. And I went to the police headquarters on Monday. And I filed, an officer took me in and started to take down the report. Then he sent me with it up to the clerk's office outside the courtroom. And I went there. She gave me a sheet of paper, said, now write it in your own words, which I did. Then she says to me that, well, the judge is going to look at this, and if he allows it, then,
okay,
you'll be able to do it.
I have a problem with this. First of all, Casson didn't have to leave his house. The police can't. Right, that's correct. That was incorrectly reported in the in the Tri-City, right?
It was a beach cabana kind of thing.
Yeah.
He doesn't live there. He lived in Deal.
It's not his home. He lives in Deal.
The stipulation when he bought the property was that he was not to be allowed to live there because it was a beach house club, a house for a beach club, and he's turned it into a private beach club. But and that's our 9 o'clock. But I want to talk about the inequities of just where we're at right now before we lose it. We're going to have to do our sponsors right now. We're going to watch the tape. The tape is going to be a little bit later, I guess, because we've missed it. We put it in late. But thanks to the grandchildren. Now we got to bring the grandchildren with us. But that's how flaky we're getting now. It's like, oh, my God, we got to have the grandkids here as we remember to put the tape in. Crank it up again there, Maisie. Yeah. And we want to thank Jersey Urban Renewal, which wants you to see its plans for the Jersey Court. Jersey Urban wants the Jersey to be the second redevelopment project in Asbury Park under the new redevelopment plan. Visit their current site at jerseycondominiums.com, and you can call Rich DiPietro to talk with him directly about the Jersey and why it's being scheduled for the wrecking ball. And Rich can be reached, Rich DiPietro, owner of that building, can be reached at 732-223-6706. He does get calls at 223-6706. People do call up and ask him why, and he has to tell them the same thing, that that it's set aside as possibly to be used as an exit lane for a parking lot blocks away from the site, and possibly over the next 30 years. There's no developer for that property right now, so that's a little ridiculous. The hardware store in Asbury Park has sheetrock, lumber, plywood, and the inventory keeps building. You must go over there and check it out at least once a week, because there's all kinds of surprises that you didn't know that they have U-Hauls, so you can move your stuff around. And, of course, they've got all the lawn care things that you could ever want. So go over there at 428 Main Street in Asbury Park and check it out. And give them a call. You know, they'll check it. They'll look to see if they have it. You don't have to go down there. 732-988-3339. 988-3339 is the number to call for the hardware store. And they will... Steve and John and the rest of the guys will help you out. Sam, very friendly. The hardware store. The firm of Bowen Fernicola LLC and Red Bank, specialist in condemnation, eminent domain, and redevelopment law, are there to answer your questions about that eminent domain. They can probably tell you a lot about the Jersey as well, because they're the lawyers on that case. Paul Fernicola is representing the Jersey. Call him at 732-345-0600. That's 345-0600. And we're back with our guests. And let me make sure we don't miss that tape. Maybe we'll take just a short break, because I'm going to kind of get our argument together here, because we want to pull in some of these loose threads. There's a fellow, Tommy Anton, who, I don't know if you've seen him yet, he's riding his bicycle up and down the boardwalk. Now, the thing that's unique about it is that it has a little rickshaw attached to the back. And he wears a lovely, I think it's a Panama, there's probably another name for it, it's not exactly like a Panama, but it kind of looks very summery. I mean, he kind of glides along the boardwalk and looks very serene. And the deal is, you get in his little rickshaw there, and he gives you a ride down the boardwalk, he doesn't charge you anything.
Oh, wow.
You gotta get in. Isn't this great?
Yeah.
And it's basically whatever you would like to give him as a tip. He just works for tips.
Nice.
So I said,
"Which part of the boardwalk is he on?"
He's down by Convention Hall and to the south of Convention Hall. He kind of that new stretch of boardwalk there. He glides along on it. It's pretty nice. And I told him that I said, you know, what's the deal here? He said, well, I'm really a musician. I'm just doing this to kind of fill it in, you know, take up the blanks there, as it were. And I said, well, do you have a CD? Because I have a radio show. And he pulled his pocket, and out comes the CD. And I played it today, and it was a very pleasant surprise. Yeah, see what you think. He's got a very nice sound. And we have a caller. Welcome to Restore Radio.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Maureen.
Yeah. Good evening.
Hey, Joe, the Crab Man. How are you doing?
Oh, it's Ed.
Yes.
Oh, the Crab Man. Hey, thanks a lot.
I have my phone plugged in, and my radio is downstairs, so it's been a pretty hectic day, as I told you in the email. But
yeah.
I like to compliment Sophie and the other people that were on. And there's so much that we have to clarify about the public trust doctrine.
Right. Maybe you should tell the audience what CRAB stands for first.
CRAB is for Citizens' Right to Access Beaches.
Right.
All right.
Right.
And,
great organization.
This is our eighth year. I think one of the people brought up a case about, I'm not mentioning a name, but that's in litigation right now. The state of New Jersey and Bay Point Dunes, this private beach association is being taken to court, and CRAB is part of that litigation. Because it's in litigation, I really cannot expound on to that case, but I just wanted to tell you that there is so much confusion, and I actually call it the ball of confusion.
The ball of confusion.
That's right. That's where the world is today.
Yeah.
And
why should the beaches be any different?
Well, the thing is, the beach, this all falls into the realm of the state of New Jersey. The state of New Jersey has to come, and they have to set a precedent. Now, the public trust doctrine has been around since Roman times. It's common law, which is also case law. We don't want that as a statute because it's actually like a snowball actually becoming an avalanche. And it's based on case by case. There were a number of cases mentioned. There was a very landmark decision down in Lower Township with the state of New Jersey against the Atlantis Beach Club, where they were charging $10,000 to get onto a beach for a lifetime membership and close to $750 a season.
Was that before or after Brennan lost it?
That decision was by the Appellate Division of the Superior Court of New Jersey, which went into effect, I think, on June 10th, and they standard on how much they could charge. But again,
I'm sorry, just to clarify, are you saying that the courts backed them up on that they could charge that much? Or
well, the state, yes, the courts. And again, the public trust doctrine is a case by case it's a doctrine, and it's common law, and if that became a statute, it would probably not be a good law. It's good to have it that way. And what I'm trying to say is Sophie and people like Crab and then other places throughout the state and even in case.
I'm sorry, can you hold on, Ed? Our delinquent system here is we have another caller who's going to come in on the line with you now.
Okay.
That's the way our system works. Good evening and welcome to Restore Radio. You're joining a conversation about beach access.
No, actually, I'm calling about something else.
Okay, well, all right, quickly.
I'm calling from Florida. We sent you a tape.
Oh, Joan, Luscious Lips.
Yes, did you get it?
Lola the Lip.
This is Lolita.
Oh, you know, you missed it. We played it already.
You did? You know,
yes.
We're trying to listen to you from Florida, and it keeps cutting in and out. I can't believe you played it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we did. It was, that was Chris Siciliano saying it was fantastic.
Oh, well, glad you liked it, but I'm sorry we missed it.
Oh, so am I, Joan. So you'll, see if you can listen, because we're talking about beach access, which is important, because Florida people seem to have it worked out. I hope you're keeping
your beach
access.
Yeah, we don't charge anything here in Florida.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
But of course, it's 150 degrees right now.
Well, that's why you want to be on that, that beach, though.
Hey.
And they'd probably kill you if you charged them to get on the beach down there.
Oh, right? We're really sorry. Yeah, I've been trying to listen. I heard Sophie talking, and I heard Mr. Siciliano and everything, but
yeah.
I could only hear like three or four words at a time, and it goes off for 5 minutes and goes back on again.
I wonder why it's doing that. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because if Pete is listening, he'll check that out, Pete Walton.
We just talked to our drummer who lives... Well, you know him, Joe Bopp, who's...
Joe Bopp, yeah.
Yeah, Kiki's husband and
Sarah's
father.
Sarah Bopp, right.
We were just talking to him, and he had the same problem, and he's right over in, I think he's in West Elmar or something. Or
so is he listening over the computer or the radio?
Over the computer.
Oh, okay. Well, we got to get a hold of Pete then. All right, we better
technical
call him up.
Difficulty.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it anyway.
But you know what? Joan, you'll be able to listen to the whole show later. It'll be up
we
on the
do
web.
That.
Yeah. So, and that should be pretty flawless, hopefully. Hopefully. Great, so we'll see you in September.
Yeah, we'll be back. Yep, we'll definitely be there in September.
Right.
How do we listen to it later?
Just go on restoreradio.com, and you can click on, I'll either have a link up there with a picture, or it'll say, listen to this show, tonight's show right now, and you click on there.
And how late will that be?
Probably around, sometimes he puts it up about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, gee.
He's a night owl.
And we can do that anytime after that?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. Okay, we'll try it again later.
That was
okay, a great,
great
demo, John.
Okay, I'm
going to
go back to trying to listen to you again.
Yeah, Chris said it was a great demo. He really liked that
CD.
Yeah,
very great.
Oh, great.
Super.
That's great. I'm glad.
Yeah, we're going to do some more cuts if we get a chance tonight.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay.
Talk to you later. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. Oh, and also goodnewsradiofm.com is working. Okay. Oh, so check that one out if you're getting a breakup. That might work a little bit better. GoodNewsRadioFM.com. All right, cool.
So we're getting this education from the crab man. That was very interesting.
Yeah, Ed. Very good. Are you still with us, Ed?
Yeah, I'm still with you. Our nephews are coming in, and my wife's going to drop them off. They're going to go see the fireworks.
Oh, there's fireworks?
Right. Sure. Point Pleasant
Beach.
Oh, really?
Going back, I just wanted to expound on what I said a little bit about the public trust doctrine.
Yeah, so you have to kind of prove it on a case-by-case basis.
Case-by-case, and that's the bad thing about it. And it's very frustrating because people, like in Sophie's case, and the money and time that she spent and the effort...
$100,000, right, Sophie?
Oh, yeah. And
more than that.
It goes on and on and on. And until we get some type of, and we call it access legislation, legislative law.
Right.
I call it ball. Get the beach ball into gear.
Yeah.
Where we get a beach access law, where actually stating where the public has a right, instead of this main high water mark, you have to be a certain type of surveyor. You need
engineer.
All types of sophisticated equipment to find out where the main high water mark is each day.
It changes each day, right?
Sure.
Here again, I'm not an expert on it. And but you go up to a person on the beach and ask them where the main high water mark is. People, they're going to give you their opinion.
Yeah.
But New Jersey is a high tide state, and again, here's another opinion. And the state came out with this ruling, this idea about or suggestion that instead of using the mean high water mark, and it would be a lot easier for people to figure out, and you just ask those same people again on the beach, can you show me where the last high tide mark was? And yeah, there it is, right over there. Okay, you... Then, arbitrarily, you have so many feet above that to enjoy the beach. That would be a lot easier for people. And that should be in a beach access law.
Right. Well, what do the politicians say when you talk to them about it? What about Sean Keane, people like that?
Who is that, Sharp James?
No, Sean.
I know Sean Dells.
No,
Sharp James is from Newark, yes.
Yeah, no, no, I meant he doesn't have a beach there. Sean Keane.
Oh, Sean Keane? I have no idea. There are many politicians. Hey, we vote for these people.
So Frank Pallone?
I couldn't hear you again.
Frank Pallone? Right.
I cannot speak for Frank Pallone.
You know what I'm going to do, Ed?
I can't speak for Congressman Pallone.
But have you approached any of them?
Oh, yes, we've been approaching them, and we're going to approach them even more about this. This is another idea we're coming up with, because there is so much money being spent on replenishing sand for beaches, but what about a beach access law? Mm-hmm. And again, people, vote.
Yeah.
Vote. Just, and what happens is the voters put these people in office. So the politicians should be listening to what is best for all the public. I wanted to go on something, too, about privatization.
Right.
People are sole property with this idea that, in fact, there's a commercial on. It's on TV where these people open up a window and they take a look at a train going by their house, and then there's kids on a skateboard park, and then nosy neighbors peeking in, and the name of this company says, don't worry, when you get this property you can build your own fence. And people come down and they actually think that the Atlantic Ocean is their private swimming pool.
Yes,
and it's really sad. And going back, the police, according to what the state did in Point Pleasant Beach before the mediation, it was outlined that the towns cannot use their police to confuse and upset the public or intimidate the public police powers of their public trust rights. And here again, I was checking with a police officer in another community, and they know about the lower township decision, they know about other decisions, and then there's other police forces that don't. That is because there is not a statute about beach access.
So do you think if it was in a statute form that that would be mandatory, that the police would be indoctrinated somehow?
Remember, this is a beach access law. We're not talking, the public trust doctrine should stay the way it is. Built by case after case, but there should be a law like a stop sign. Stop sign means stop. You have a speed limits in the state of New Jersey. If it's not marked, it's 50 miles an hour. If it's in a residential neighborhood, if it's not marked, it's 25 miles an hour.
Right. So there's some kind of standard that can be applied everywhere.
There should be a standard set, and it would make it so much easier, and then people like Sophie and whoever would like to go to the beach enjoy the beach. You know, Maureen, just imagine you go on vacation and you're sitting down enjoying the beach. You don't want to be part of a cause. You don't want to be bothered about going to court.
Right.
You want to be on vacation.
I don't want to be charged with trespass.
That's it. And guess what?
Yeah.
Until it affects them personally, then it becomes a big issue.
And
that's what happened with a certain state senator. He was denied access over the Sea Bright Rocks, and then all of a sudden it was important.
That's true. You know how we used to have to wait in line forever at the DMV to get your car inspected?
Yes.
And then suddenly you didn't have to wait in line anymore? That was because it was either Mort Pye or somebody as high up as he was at the Star-Ledger. He sent one of his underlings to take his car to inspection, and the guy was gone for like 4 or 5 hours, and that was the end of our problems at DMV.
Now Sophie needs to invite some dignitaries down for lunch on the beach and then have them be ejected, and I think that'll help solve
that
the problem,
right?
Yeah,
that'd do it,
right?
You know, we've got some creative ideas happening
I've
here.
I've offered to do that many times.
You know, I had the privilege 2 years ago in July, my wife and I and another couple went to France, and I had the privilege to actually visit the Normandy beaches.
Wow.
Of our men and women, men died.
Right.
To preserve our freedom. And guess what?
World War II.
They're beautiful beaches. And here I am. I'm a foreigner in a country, and I can walk on a beach without any problem.
Yeah. And that's a heck of a thing, isn't it?
Well, you're right, Ed. I think we need...
I just want to tell Sophie...
Ed, this is...
She's doing a great job. And hopefully, maybe this could all be rectified, because one more matter I want to bring up. I've been fighting members of CRAB, for close to a decade to get onto a beach. And there are so many important matters out there. We're at war now. People are dying of cancer. There are people their children don't eat. We have people who are sick, that have medical insurance. And here we're worrying about going to a beach, and I just have to shake my head on it. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. Why should everything be this struggle?
You know? The struggle to go onto the beach.
And I have to tell you, Ed, while you're talking about the access thing, do you realize that Asbury Park has now given away its rights to the inside of Convention Hall, the arcade that was always open to the public because it's the boardwalk passageway through? We have now been given an easement.
The people give it away because people are very complacent. We are in a very complacent and apathetic society.
Yeah, and we've got to get...
Like, for example, do you read legal notices? Some people do. I mean, they need to get a life, but why do you want to read that stuff? And the same thing happened when we lost our Beacon Beach. We didn't know this was happening until it
was
gone. And
so
then
it's too late.
No one cared.
Exactly.
And that's why we have these elected officials. We have these elected officials that are elected to actually represent all the people, not just a select few.
And we have one with us tonight.
We have one here. That's right, Eddie.
I know. By the way, I didn't get that. That's a councilman, not okay. Congressman. No.
Councilman.
Yes.
Was it Siciliano?
Yes, sir.
I didn't get your name, sir.
Yeah, Chris. Councilman Chris Siciliano from Ocean Township, nearby town.
Councilman, you're doing a great job, and just like you said, our police forces are out there, and they are told what to do, and
right.
They're told what to do by their higher ups.
Higher authority.
And until they're told about this public trust doctrine, and I know Ocean Township's doing a great job with getting people's rights to get on the beach too, and again, you know, people have to realize when they get on the beach, they have to respect the beach too, not
right.
to leave
that's
trash
true.
Around and pick trash up if you see it, not just leave it for somebody else. And
well, actually,
it's everyone's job.
Exactly. Well, you know, when you called, we were just about to get into this discussion about the police and how they can play a better role in educating the public. And I think that Chris was going to inform us about, you know, what is the process for
protocol.
Being told, you know, who's responsible for what the police know and understand.
Well, I was going to go just before that. Thank you, Maureen. I'll address that. But Ed had hit the nail on the head. Legislating, we need legislative input here as well. I'm surprised anybody, I mean, I grew up in the area. If I were to be a representative of the 11th District or anything like that, a congressman, et cetera, it'd be a priority number one would be protecting the Atlantic Ocean.
Right.
Good God, we have something that, you know, my mother's from St. Louis, Missouri. The Atlantic Ocean, boy, that represents something that you only seen on maps as a youngster growing up.
You know, a big thing.
It's amazing. So I think you're right. I'm going to be seeing Pallone and a few others at a breakfast meeting in the near future, and I'm going to bring this up, and I'm really going to make this another cause to put into my category of causes to fight for, because it's a worthy one, and I really appreciate, you know, your acronym CRAB. That's great.
And you know, Chris, I just wanted to let you know that's how it starts.
Absolutely.
With an idea, and if that idea could be pushed a certain way, then we get the legislation. And guess what? I don't care if I get credit for it. All I want to do is go to a beach.
Right.
That's all.
Exactly.
And give your website address.
We're www.crab, that's C-R-A-B, N like in Nancy, J like in Jersey, well, N-J for New Jersey, .com.
That's okay.
CrabNJ.com.
Excellent.
That's great. Thank you, Ed. I know that you've
very
got a lot
much.
Of things
and,
going on
Maureen,
with the family, and I really appreciate
we
you taking
come
the
on
time.
With maybe 1 week, and we can go over this public trust doctrine, and maybe we get Chris on with some other representatives, and maybe
let's
we
do
can,
it. Maybe you can get Pallone to come on.
You know, to discuss this idea.
Okay.
Sophie
wants to say something.
Ed, I want to say thanks for calling. Okay, you're a friend, great friend of mine, and I'm so lucky to know you. Thanks, dear.
Keep up the good work.
Lady, and guess what? Do me a favor. Enjoy the beach.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay. All right, yeah. Definitely. Thanks, Ed.
Good talk to you, Ed.
Night.
Good night.
That was good. Yeah, you've got a lot of stuff going
That's
on.
That's great.
And Now, you were going to say you're going to
Addressing the police, I'm going to certainly discuss it with them. I mean, I'm not.
Who do the policemen report to?
Whoever's on duty, the sergeant or ranking officer that's on duty,
and
but ultimately to the chief.
Who's
it goes, the pecking order would go like this. The police officer would report to whomever the ranking officer is on duty, whether it's
right.
a sergeant or a lieutenant.
That report
will go to the chief. The chief will report to our town manager, who in turn reports to us, the council members. And so
is
at every
there one council member that's responsible?
No,
for
we're
the
no,
for
not like we have wards or anything like that.
Or,
no, we're just council member at large, throughout the whole township. So we're manager council. So our manager pretty much is, wields all the power, but he runs everything by the council, of course, and he shares the information with us as far as police arrest and what's going on in town and what's the big hoopla, what should we be looking at. So we certainly will see Sophie's name on the next council meeting on our agenda. We'll sign off on, oh, boy, what happened there,
Right.
And it's going to evoke some questions. So
now, what about, isn't it possible for them to have some kind of card, laminated card, that says these are the beach rules?
I guess it is possible.
The beach.
They're going
especially
by
during the summer when everybody's.
Absolutely. I think it's something that should be talked about more. I guess they have some empirical set of rules now that they're following. And again, I got to tell you, these guys are terrific because I've seen them in action. When we have a situation, they're very responsive.
Sure.
So I know they're just acting on.
Because they ticket everybody who comes over the bridge.
Yeah,
they bring them over to Asbury and ticket them.
Listen, it's a very profitable part of our town, let me tell you,
right.
The police.
Right.
We love them dearly there.
I bet you they are.
I just
want to give them the right information so they can
I'm
going to
share
right
this
thing.
Information with our manager.
Maureen, before you got that call, you said you stopped at that. This was bothering you. When I told the story of how I tried to make a complaint against Mr. Cassin.
Yeah, yeah, because this is what I don't understand, and I don't understand how you can justify, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, I mean you as the government, responsible for your own police force, how you can justify the fact that Cassin didn't have to leave his house. He immediately came over to him as opposed to.
I guess it's plaintiff there. Defendant type thing,
I said to the. I don't know at what point or to. Oh, I think I said it to the clerk when she said, we're going to have to show this to the judge, and he will review it and see if you could. Is harassment less important than trespassing? It seems unfair to me that I have to get, a judge's opinion on whether my complaint was valid.
What do you think about that, Jeff?
It goes down to the fact that the police were obviously at a loss how to handle this, and they went to our mayor, and he said, I wouldn't let her sit here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key that started this whole process. And it just goes from the animosity between the trustees and Sophie. Sophie's been fighting this battle for so many years.
But, of course, the cops didn't know that. They don't know about the history.
Well, there are policemen that are just, I believe, at our beach all the time. I don't know when, during operational hours.
It's shift work. We take on.
So, I see the same people. I mean, whether or not, they're up on the stuff. But, clearly, everybody in town knows Sophie.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't live in this town or work in this town without.
Because she's a fighter.
She's a
fighter.
I mean, when I first moved to the town, it was Sophie the Nut. I mean, that's how everybody approached it to
now. Now it's Jeff.
But it's still, and then I started listening for myself and found out that she has
that
a point.
She has the law on her side.
Exactly. And so that's,
This is the thing, too. I mean, you can take this from both sides. But if this is the case, then why haven't those cops been told by now? If they've been reading about it, and if she is such a legendary figure, why isn't someone in an authority capacity taken the police aside and said, okay, now, aside from all the politics, this is the fact.
Right.
May I say something again? Well, in all fairness to the Ocean Police, they've only been serving us for the past, is it 4 years, 5 years?
Sophie, four years
before,
is long enough.
Before that, Allenhurst.
Let me throw this out here. Is I mean, people are, you know, cops are people, and you know, and people are influenced by money. I mean, when you see somebody who owns an estate, I've seen it myself. People have a tendency to kind of get a little self-conscious. They act a little bit different. They walk into your house. If it's a big high ceiling and a grand, you know, entrance, they get a little bit smaller, you know, they shrink a little. Do cops do this? I mean, you take little Sophie's, who's, what, you stand about 5 feet two?
No, I'm 4 feet 11 and a half.
Good for you,
boy.
Buddy. That's it. She's proud of every inch of that.
Yeah, as I said, because Mr. Kasson, in one of his papers for our case tomorrow, said that I threatened him and his guests and family, and he's in fear of me. I said, in fear of me, 81 years old, okay, 4 foot 11 and a half, and I weigh 115. Maybe 100 and sometimes 18.
You don't have to be so honest.
Sophie,
please. So this, she tells you everything. Jeff, what did you say?
Before, you know, this all happened, she was sitting there and they put like a boom box behind her. They played volleyball over her.
Oh, right.
And stuff like and that. Harassment. And she just sat there. And, you know, and it's like, you see how she is. I mean, she's not going to throw into a tirade, you know, and start cursing.
I've known you now for, what, two or three years now, and I've never heard
her
you.
Character.
No, it's not.
Even when she gets upset, she doesn't, she can't speak.
She gets
silent.
Emotional and, you know, sad, you know, and
you know,
upset, but not
question about the police.
Aggressive.
They represent a very diverse group in Ocean Township, so I don't know, and they're men of rectitude, and I doubt that they are intimidated by anybody's wealth or position or status, etc. I think they're just really getting their information ex cathedra, really, from, you know, the mayor and or Mr. Kasson here. Well, here's what we're supposed to do here. So we'll look into that more. And, you
because
know,
it's also
absolutely
a problem on the
well,
other
glad,
side.
Chris, that you're going to take care of this. Cause
I'll talk to, you know, let's talk to the manager to talk to the chief.
Obviously, there's a lack of communication there about what the law is.
That must have been just a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Maureen, okay, I just want to reiterate this one thing. Where he said to me,
cover our sunshine and our news with the news.
Where they said to me, he wants you to sit near the rock, in front of the rocks. So it's okay for me to sit in front of the rocks. That's not trespassing. But where I was, which was
again,
right in line, was
too many ambiguities
was trespassing.
Here.
This again is where they need to have a card that they look on, and it, you know, where's that trust doctrine? Let me read that for this, because it's stated very clearly here. The public trust doctrine guarantees to the public an unfettered right to use tidally flowed beach areas for swimming, fishing, walking, resting. Resting, you don't have to keep walking,
you know,
and other shore activities, including the right to perpendicular and lateral access to the entire shoreline, all of the tidally flowed lands adjoining the ocean front up to the mean high water mark. So, you know, and don't get upset about the mean. You see the high water mark, you can go 10 feet beyond it. And to an additional adjacent upland dry sand area, okay, along the entire shoreline as reasonably necessary for resting, relaxation, and other beach uses. So you're covered if you can still sit on the dry part above the high water mark.
Other beach uses, repose or a blanket, etc.
In Allenhurst, there's a different type of problem now, because Allenhurst, who borders our beach, the guy who owns the house there has riparian rights to go out to the ocean.
Uh-huh.
And Mayor Rosenblatt is all over saying, you can't block our access, you can't do... I mean, it's amazing in the 100 feet how he makes a 180-degree turn about
how...
I mean, because the police...
He's not his buddy.
The police have been there several times. The guy who lived there has called, and the police have been there several times. And granted, and it's... He's Mayor Rosenblatt saying people can sit there and use the beach, and all of a sudden on the southern end it's a totally different story.
Okay, well maybe this is Mayor Rosenblatt. Good evening and welcome to Restore Radio.
Maureen, it's not Mayor Rosenblum.
It's not Mayor Rosenblatt. It's Paul Fernicola.
No, it's Rich Karpinski.
Oh, Rich, you know you sounded just like Paul Fernicola. Well, you've been talking at too many council meetings, Rich. That's what that means.
I must have went to law school.
Rich Kirkland. So, were you listening to this discussion?
Yes.
What do you think?
And I think it has far-reaching implications, actually. I guess the first question I have, and actually you explained it while I was making the call, uh-huh. was as you're walking up and down the beach, how far up to properties do you have before you have a problem with a private citizen saying, this is my property?
10 feet, I think, is that
it's
common.
Ten feet above the high water
right.
mark. So the high water mark
reasonable,
comes up
they say.
Another 20 feet, you know, and then you have another 10 feet after that.
Right.
So you don't have to be in the water. You don't have to be sitting on wet sand.
I was going to say, Maureen, you know, most people probably don't realize what exactly is the high water mark.
Well, it's where you can see where the highest point that the water's been that day.
Where the high tide hit.
Actually, right.
Where the high tide hit, Sophie said.
After a nor'easter.
After a nor'easter.
By the way, Sophie, good for you for sticking to your guns. And Maureen, thank you for your show and bringing
you,
all this to light.
Thank you very much, Rich. I appreciate it. I hope you'll listen to, we're going to be talking more about the Sunshine Law. So I hope you'll stay tuned for that.
We will definitely stay tuned. We are obviously, you're big supporters of your show.
Oh, thank you.
And the implications I was talking about, Maureen, was like just access to public property, not just the beach. But, you know, I was very disturbed when I saw Werner's email about his situation in Convention Hall and
right.
the public access and the private party that was going on, and I don't mean to go off of this subject, but
mm-hmm.
is there any additional information as to what happened there?
Well, what happened in the council meeting was it prompted Louise Murray, who is a former councilwoman herself, to ask who owns that arcade property, because up until recently we were asking the council where's the rental fees when they would park on the arcade or they would use it for kiosks and sell that property again, rent it again to vendors. And it was kind of a vague answer. They kind of had, you know, evaded the questions in the past. And this time they answered Louise that we no longer own the arcade. We only own an easement to it. They have also given that away.
The easement is owned by the city.
Yes, we own the easement to it. Now,
so if there's a private party, what does the city get paid for that?
Well, we would need to know the exact language of the easement. Nobody at the council meeting last night could even tell us the dimensions of the easement, whether it was a 10-foot wide, alleyway through there, which is what they basically gave us last week when they had this party. They had it cordoned off so that the public could walk through, but it was only this narrow kind of a passageway.
Sorry, not for anything, but everything in this plan is so detailed
mm-hmm.
from the fishman or the SAS point of view. But you're saying that, or they're saying that there's no exact description? Where are the city attorneys?
Yeah.
Say, here is exactly, not like, okay, right. we have a little of this. No, what exactly does the city own, or what exactly is that easement, and what exactly is the city going to bring back as far as revenue if that easement is rented?
Well, these are the kinds of things that they should have at their fingertips to tell us about when we ask these questions. And they wouldn't have to tell us so much if they didn't exclude us from so much of the process. These executive sessions, and we could ask Chris about that, the Sunshine Law has very clear designations of when and it is subject to, what it is allowed under the Sunshine Law to meet in closed session and when it is not. And the description that they gave me, you know, this contract negotiations for this private meeting that they had last Thursday, it does not hold water. When I even asked the lawyer that worked on the revision of the Sunshine Law himself, and he said it doesn't meet the definition.
Hmm.
He looked at the agenda, and that's what they base it on. When they when they have to make a decision about a closed session, which is basically every week now, they meet in closed session, executive session. They go to the lawyer, and in this case it's Fred Raffetto, our city attorney, and they show him the agenda, and that's what he bases his decision on. And that is what was given to Tom Cafferty, the lawyer in Somerville that specializes in this open public meetings law.
Well, we're very disturbed seeing that email and hearing what happened I guess it was last Sunday to Werner Baumgartner,
yeah. being pursued out of the place. They wanted to confiscate his camera.
It's like a victim.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just want to say, Maureen, thanks.
It's private ownership of formerly public property.
Yeah, but that's supposed to be public property, as the beach.
Well, when did they give that? When did they fold that into the deal?
Yeah, well, that's
when? When did that happen?
That's a very good question, but just as Sophia's walking on the beach or she wants to sit on the beach and somebody says, okay, this is a private beach now, and gets arrested or gets harassed or whatever, you know, that's just not right. So you know what we should do? We should just have a nice party in front of the house on the beach and say, well, that's not a bad idea. How about a beach party?
That's
have
right.
Wegmans can cater it.
When should we do it? When do you want to do it? Let's do it.
Have to plan it. And so
Sunday morning.
Good for you, Sophie.
All right, Rich. Are you free Sunday morning? Come on.
Well, okay.
All right, we'll invite them now.
And Sophie, good for you. Maureen, thanks for all your help. And
thanks a lot. Thank you.
You bring all of these, everything that you bring to the limelight would not be in the public. The public wouldn't have access to all this information if it wasn't for you.
You know, thank you very much for saying that. But you know, it shouldn't be that way. It's like, you know, I can't believe that there's so much,
all these things happen.
So much stuff to be done. I mean. Anyway,
great.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Maureen. Bye-bye.
We do want to talk about this, and we have to go to our Muse with the News now. Without further ado, and we want to do Tommy Anton's song, too. We're definitely going to do that, Tommy. Don't lose hope here. We're going to do it.
Here I am interrupting that fantastic show you're having.
Well, you know, you've been very quiet because we took your mic away.
They took my mic away from me, and I can't blame them personally. But anyway, if you haven't had time to read the newspapers, just toss them away or start wrapping up that fish, because I have all the news that you need to hear. So let's start with the Asbury Park Press. Well, we got good news and bad news today. The good news is, according to the press, developer Carter Sackman is going forward with the rehabilitation of the Steinbeck building and hopes to start construction in mid-August. The bad news is that the offices of the school board building of Asbury Park, located on Wesley Lake, has been grabbed by eminent domain. According to Judge Lawson, the site would have greater benefit to the city as a waterfront redevelopment site for the Kushner Company than its school offices. So in a stunningly conceived rebuttal to the powers that be, school superintendent Antonio Lewis told the press that, quote, again, we'll just have to see what happens down the road. We're trying to work with the city, unquote. Whoa, what a verbal comeback that is. Kushner must be so scared. My only real concern, given Kushner's recent shenanigans, is that if the Board of Ed kicks up too big a fuss, they will soon find themselves tailed by heavily lipstick ladies with video cameras in their hot pants.
You know, it could happen.
It could. It has, apparently. Speaking of rebuttals, the Coaster today is awash in letters condemning Kate Molina's recent Asbury Park A New Day column. Of course, Restore Radio was the first one to come out and question its appropriateness. According to John Falco of Freehold, Kate, quote, makes public an enemies list which includes Frank D'Alessandro, radio host Maureen Nevin, and local contractor Werner Baumgartner, unquote. He then goes on to say, it is time for the Coaster to give its column space to someone who can do this without the need to attack those who are also working to make this city great again.
Thank you, John.
Joe D'Andrea gets in on the act too, Maureen. Quote, Ms. Molina has the ear of the press who frequently quote her whenever there is a hint of Asbury Park in their articles.
Yeah.
She has an open microphone segment at both the workshop and regular sessions of the council meetings to say whatever she wants on any subject she likes without the three-minute restriction imposed on private citizens. So why allow Ms. Molina the additional opportunity to insult and demean private citizens in your paper? Bravo, Joe. And can I make a shameless plug for his excellent website, gayasburypark.com? Like Levy's Jewish Rye Bread, you don't have to be gay to love it. And lastly, Rita Moreno also castigates the coaster for running that recent expose on a private citizen's home. She concludes with this ominous message. When the council tells its critics that their 3 minutes are up at the next council meeting, they should think of this. Next year, their 3 minutes will be up.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want a weekly world news, Maureen? Do we have time?
Oh, yes. Oh,
all right.
I couldn't make the week without it.
Weekly World News lead article this week is, What a Joker! Cut-up Colin Powell keeps the White House in stitches. According to this fine publication, Secretary of State Colin Powell loves to pull zany pranks. He has an amazing ability to throw his voice and play tricks on President Bush. During high-level cabinet meetings in the Oval Office, the silly secretary has a little voice from under Mr. Bush's desk called, Yoo-hoo, Mr. President! It's me, Osama! Here I am! Naturally, the president looks under his desk and finds nothing. The voice then says, Not here! Over here, near the potted plants! This sometimes goes on for hours, Maureen. Mr. Powell also likes to make phony phone calls to foreign dignitaries. Mr. Powell, he once called Muammar Gaddafi and said, Is your refrigerator running? Once the Daffy dictator confirmed that his icebox was indeed up and running, Mr. Powell exclaimed, Well then, you better go catch it. He then slammed the phone down and guffawed for 20 minutes. And according to High Place Washington sources, when National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice was testifying before the 9/11 Commission, he put a whoopee cushion on her seat. Was Tom Keene embarrassed? And for once, Richard Benvenista had nothing to say. That's my report.
Very good. You know, one
the
thing.
The news with the news.
Meetings, 3 minutes is up. Come on down to Ocean Township. We invite you. It's open mic night there. Whenever we have council meetings, we don't limit you to the 3 minutes.
So why is it that you don't find it necessary to limit people to one time up in 3 minutes?
I didn't say that. I didn't say we didn't find it necessary. We just don't have, we have that policy of it's open forum, open public government, and we like to hear from them. And sometimes they become a little redundant, and we have to remind them, hey, gee, that was asked or answered.
Right.
But we never do we cut there. Anyone off. And we're there. I'm going to tell you, Maureen, we're there till 11:30 till midnight at our council meetings. We've already done more time at council meetings than the preceding governing body had in, probably in 4 years.
Really?
In our 1 year, absolutely.
Well, you know, in our situation, we've actually had the council get up and leave the podium, just leave the dais completely,
yeah.
While there were people lined up to make comments.
Yeah, I guess
that's it. We've been here all day,
yeah.
You know, because they've been in private session.
Sure.
With the development rights holder.
Yeah, I guess maybe they're stressed out. They've had a lot going on here in Asbury,
yeah,
and now it's starting to spread the ocean
as well.
That
we don't know about. Yeah, exactly.
But we get folks, you know, casually towards the end of the meeting asking us what kind of fertilizer we use on the lawn. It looks beautiful out there. Oh, my goodness. That's not germane to what we were talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
They just want something to say.
Yeah. Yeah, and there is that, but it's also much too convenient for people who are coming under criticism to turn around and say, oh, we have to limit this, you know.
Right.
Before you get to the
salient details that they don't want to answer.
Exactly.
Well, one council member took it on the chin today in the coaster, certainly.
Who was that?
Kate.
From those letters.
Yeah.
Yeah, she got quite a bit of criticism.
Very good.
I was going to say something just a minute. The other night, what I was actually going for was I wanted the lawyers representing the city, who, you know, we pay $350,000 a year for legal representation. Doesn't include labor, and I don't think that covers our compensation costs. And I wanted his response. You know, I get up there, I say blah blah blah, and this is so, and now I'd like the response from our attorney. And that's when they lowered the gavel. Your 3 minutes are up. Hello. You know, I could see if, you know, I'm up there talking about my cousin, and you know, but we really want to play Tom Anton's song before we kind of lose control again of the show. It's like the natural for this show. So let's hear this. And I'm sorry, I don't have the CD, so I can't tell you, I can't introduce it properly, but it's a very nice song. Tommy Anton, look for him on his bike with his rickshaw.
Working harder than Hong Kong. Why am I the way I am and I'm watching you? Overlooking your heart song. Couldn't really sure who you're close to. When you're done and gone, and where in the world are you headed to? What's taking you so long?
What'd you think of that? Is that a nice song or what? It's got some great tones to it. That was Tommy Anton, and we'll have to get him down to the studio because he seems like a very interesting young man, very enterprising. See him on his rickshaw and tell him we said hi.
Get a free ride home.
Yeah, get a free ride home to
the
Deer Lake, right? Yeah. But we want to talk about the use of or misuse of the contract negotiations as a reason, an excuse to go into an executive session on Thursday of last week on July 15th. And I want people to be aware of the differences between what the public was told was going to be discussed and the paperwork, excuse me, written with the same date. It was not written 2 days before. You know, the more general version of the agenda was not written a few days before the meeting, and the more detailed version of the agenda put out on that date. In my years of covering municipal meetings as a reporter, I wrote for the Elizabeth Daily Journal and the Home News for many years as a correspondent. Covering, that's what they do when you're a correspondent, when you're a stringer. They make you go out to these meetings, you know. And you sit there till hell freezes over, boy, because the old rule was, you know, if you leave, somebody could walk into that meeting and shoot somebody. And you'll write a story about everything else but the guy getting shot. And that means you don't come back to the paper. So you were supposed to stay there. Reporters don't stay there. Nancy did stay there last night, I have to say. She stayed for the whole meeting. But the Star Ledger was infamous for leaving at 9:30, no matter what's going on, because they had their deadline, and that's it. They don't stay. But it's important to have access to these discussions that are going on by the city council members. And I mean, I'm showing this to Chris. I'm kind of putting him on the spot. He's a councilman, Chris Desliano. He's a councilman from Ocean Township. And, of course, Ocean Township had its own problems. You had a city manager that was, I was going to say on the take. It was even worse than that.
No, not the manager. That was our...
I'm sorry.
The erstwhile
your mayor. Your
the
mayor.
The manager's a very prudent individual.
He was our manager. Sorry. Sorry, I apologize to
That's
your
okay.
township manager. Our city manager was, mm-hmm. Of course, the same man that was your mayor, Terry Weldon. And, of course, in Asbury Park, he didn't do anything wrong.
Well...
He only broke the law in Ocean Township.
Right.
As far as we know. But... That's why open government, come on, open government is important. And the Sunshine Law was put into place so that everything could be exposed to light, so that the public has a right to know what's going on at these meetings. And the only time that you're supposed to go into an executive session, there are a few reasons. Well, it's personnel matters, to protect someone's privacy. Contract negotiations, if they involve purchase of land or something, where you can understand if someone understands that the city is interested in buying something, oh, the price is going to go up.
Litigation.
Right?
It's called closed session. Litigation.
Right.
Personnel, et cetera, things like
right.
that.
Right. But you can't take litigation and stretch it for everything.
No.
No,
you can't. Or it may end up that way.
Yeah, that's right. You end up in litigation. And contract negotiations, now here we have a case in point where I asked what the contract negotiation referred to. Well, it was the restated amended redevelopers agreement, which was passed 2 years ago, signed and passed 2 years ago. And so that's not contract negotiations.
No, doesn't sound like it. I mean, that's something that I guess you should have been privy to. You know, in our town, we have a workshop that precedes every meeting, and we'll get together about.
Is
6:30.
That closed or is
no,
it open?
That's open.
Now we have an open workshop as well.
You know, except for personnel, litigation, et cetera, contracts that pertain to it may compromise our position if we're buying a property, et cetera, as you had stated. So.
And with contracts, you want to make sure that you're doing all your strategizing without the other party to that contract
right.
present or able to hear, whether it's through someone, a reporter picking it up, quoting something
exactly.
that was said. Okay. But it's not contract negotiations where you have the other side of the party and the only one left out is the public, the taxpayer who is
right.
paying the bill.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know the circumstances there, like you had stated, Maureen, but it just sounds like, you know, some of that should be more open.
Well, I gave this to Tom Cafferty in Somerville, and he looked it over, and his colleague, Arlene Turinchak, called me back, and she said, these are scheduling matters. This looks like, basically, let me read to you, Phase 1 infrastructure construction, A, schedule, B, design status, plan amendments, those required by infrastructure master plan, other recommended amendments. These are not matters to be negotiated under contract. These are things that are being ironed out with someone who already has the contract. There is already an agreement in place, which we are constantly told we have to adhere to.
Right.
That we can't break.
Well, sometimes there's change orders as well to certain contracts that are beyond the control of anyone, and I don't know that those necessarily, like, again, in our town, our manager pretty much will understand.
See, this is not between a developer and the city, though. That's not what this is about. This
UIGG.
This entity is not a developer. He only owns the rights to develop and to sell the property again.
So you guys
want to
know why you're not being privy to the, you know,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll be talking to Chris after we go off tonight because we're out of airtime. And next week, call me and tell me who I told could come on the show next week on the 29th. It's going to be a great show, I'm sure. And the week after is the Black Box.
If we run out of guests, we'll be here.
All right. Oh, we want to thank the hardware store, Jersey Urban Renewal.
Tommy DeSanto.
And everybody else. Oh, Bernicola. Bowen for Nicola for making this show possible tonight. Thank all of you. And we'll see you next week for sure. And don't forget, what is our motto? Speak up because it's America.
Good night.
Fix the old fuse box. Call me Mr. Fix-It. Need some special service, I can do it all.